You're listening to The Point. Joining us now, Susan Santangelo, the author of four books and the Baby Boomer Mystery Series. The latest is titled Class Reunions Can Be Murder. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Mindy.
All right, so there might be some people who are not familiar with your books. Each one of the Baby Boomer Mystery Series features Carol Andrews, her husband Jim, of course, and a murder.
Yes.
And you've written about many themes associated with baby boomers, retirement, marriage of a child, moving, and now you've moved on to class reunions.
Mm-hmm.
So people seem to fall into two categories here when it comes to class reunions, those who attend and those who don't and won't.
Yes.
So did you attend any of your class reunions?
I have attended most of my class reunions. I was lucky enough to be raised in an all-girls environment in school, and I am very close to a lot of my classmates from high school. And I, in fact, there's a bunch of us who get together. Can I still say bunch? Does that dates me?
I know what you mean.
There are several. I know. There are several of us who get together a couple of times a year to have lunch, because when you reach a certain age, waiting 5 years for the next reunion could be a little bit tricky. So we'd like to see each other as much as possible and reminisce while we still can.
So I'm taking it then some of this book is based on your real life experience, because we do have an all-girls school here.
Yes,
and we
have
some friends that have been friends since school.
That's true. We do. But, you know, I think every author takes things from real life. But I would be lying if I said that there are not some elements in this particular book, especially, that relate to my own upbringing and to some friends that I have. However, the characters are really imaginary. In fact, my very best friend in the world said to me, after one of the book signings she'd come to, she said, "You know, you can tell me who the bully is in this book, because she said, "You can trust me." And then she said, "I actually figured out who it was, who you based it on." And she said, "I'm just going to whisper it in your ear." And she whispered it in my ear, and I was so shocked, Mindy.
Yeah.
And I said, "This was a completely made up character." And she said, "Oh no, I'll keep your secret."
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Well, the character Carol Andrews is one of those people who has no desire to attend a class reunion.
True.
But she's convinced not only to attend her 40th high school reunion, but to be part of the planning.
Yes, yes. And that's how her other friends sucker her in, because Carol loves to tell people what to do. Not that that's anything like my own personality. And she likes to control things as much as she can. Of course, in life, you can't control many things. And so they tell her that if she's on the reunion planning committee, she will have a say in how, in what happens at the reunion. Of course, she does for most of it, except for the dead body.
Yeah, now say, of course, all's going smoothly, of course, until dead body of a classmate's found the night before the reunion. And the interesting twist to this whodunit in this book is that the murder victim is universally disliked amongst her old classmate because she was the bully.
She was the bully.
Mm-hmm. And what's interesting here is that Carol thinks she pretty much was the only one bullied.
Right.
And really, we come to find out that Meg, this character, bullied everybody.
True.
Yeah.
True. And I think, and when I started this book, people always ask me how I come up with these sort of sub-themes. Because when I started the class reunions book, I really didn't realize that bullying was going to be the theme for this book. And then a classmate of mine posted on Facebook about a year and a half ago that she had an interaction with one of her grandchildren, and that the girl was being bullied, not in a cyberbullying kind of way, but still was being bullied at school. And my friend said, "You know, I started thinking about my own childhood, and I realized that when I was in fifth grade, I was the victim of a bully." Well, I, of course, was in that class too. So I wanted to know who the bully was and what happened. So I emailed her off Facebook, because God knows we don't want everybody to know all of our business.
That's true.
And I said, "What happened?" And she told me about a birthday party that we had all been to. Because those were the days when if mommy said, if you're having a party, you have
everybody,
to invite everybody.
That's right. Everybody has to come.
And she said that she had gone wearing a dress that her mother had made for her. And she said, "I thought that I looked absolutely beautiful." And when you're 10 years old, of course, even when you're 16, even when you're 60, your ego about how you look is very fragile. Mm-hmm. And she said, "This one girl looked at me and she said, 'That looks like,'" well, she wouldn't have used a word that we would probably use today, "but that's terrible. That's disgusting, that dress. You look like you belong in a rag heap." And she said, "I dissolved in tears," my friend said, "and I ran away."
Mm-hmm.
And so then I, of course, had to know who the girl was. And then and then I said, "Oh, yeah, I never liked her anyway." But that sort of stuck in my head, because I think that when we were younger, we may have been the victim of teasing. We mm-hmm. called it teasing. Mm-hmm. Certainly not to the extent that it happens today. But that story stuck in my head. And I remembered a few things that happened to me when I was that age that made me cry.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, I never thought of it as bullying before. But in reality, it was a form of bullying. Yeah. It was.
Well, and perhaps these are some of the reasons people don't want to attend class reunions.
That's
it
right.
brings up the angst of adolescence.
It does. And, you know, when you're adolescent, everything means so much more. Everything hurts so much more. You feel things so much more deeply. And you're sure you're never, ever, ever going to get over it. When your first boyfriend and you break up, you're never going to get over that love.
Yeah.
Never, 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 never. And maybe 50 years later, you'll try to find him on Facebook. I don't know. But, you know, you do care about things and everything just matters. It just is so magnified when you're younger.
Exactly. And we would love to know if you've attended your class reunion or you've had some of these same thoughts. 866-999-4626 is our toll-free number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. I never have attended any of my classes.
You told me that.
Yeah. I think partly it's far away. So another state.
It's not that far. I know where you are. It's the same state as mine.
I never really had the desire to. But maybe, I don't know, maybe I'll go to the next one. Who knows?
Well,
it would be kind of interesting. I guess, you know, when you're 10 years out, it seems like I just
left. You have nothing to talk about,
really. But yeah, when you're talking 40
people
years.
Have done things. And I found that interesting, too, because when you go to one when you're in 10 years out or 15 years out, you don't really have a heck of a lot to talk about. The girls talk about, you know, labor pains and all that jazz. And then when you get a little bit farther, like maybe 25, the talk gets a little bit more interesting about careers and what have you done with your life. And then you turn to the grandchildren, at least in my case, as you keep on progressing. But, you know, the last one that I attended, people were really interested in how we thought our lives had gone. Sort of more looking at the whole picture. And, you know, it's funny, the people that in my case I didn't really like in high school or didn't hang out with, as we used to say, turned out to be really nice people.
Right. Yeah. You think if I could go back, I might be friends with them. Yeah.
I might be friends with them. Yeah. And then the ones who were boring were not quite as exciting, but they still were, you know, nice. And you have that bond that you don't share with anybody else.
And isn't it always fun to see what happened to, like, the most popular girl, most popular guy?
Yes.
You know, the quarterback on the football team.
Well, we didn't have quarterbacks at our school. But, you know, the other thing is a lot of women, particularly, I think, don't want to go back to school because they're afraid that they don't look the same. I mean, that brings up an interesting point, too. How much weight do I have to lose before I go to my high school reunion? Because when I was a senior in high school, if I was the queen of the prom or whatever, I was a size 4, and now I'm a size 14.
Right.
You know, well, my God, if you look at the rest of the class.
I say no one in the class is the same
size. We're not really looking at, you know, a whole bunch of, you know, small little people anymore because that's what happens when you age.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And going back to the bully second, the bullying here, girl bullies operate a little bit differently than boy bullies from the outward taunting or physical aggressive male bullies. Girls are, for the most part, more covert about their bullying. And in your book, we mentioned it wasn't until 40 years later that these women getting together realized that they were all bullied by Meg. But it's interesting the difference in how girl bullies behave. And
yeah,
bullies behave.
It is. It is. Yeah. And one of the things that I found interesting is that even though these girls are really, really, really close friends, none of them had ever confided to each other that they had this problem.
Yeah.
But girls, when I created the character of Meg, the bully, I did not look up any characteristics. I did not go online and say, you know, this is what a female bully is. And yet at the end when I started, because I always use websites at the end for if people want more information, and I got this National Cyberbullying, I discovered that I had actually written the perfect profile of a girl bully.
Isn't that interesting?
And I was so happy.
Yeah. All right. Joanne is calling from Eastham. Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning. I just attended my 50th class reunion.
Wow.
Congratulations.
It was fun.
See? Yeah. Good for you.
And you know what was more fun? We also had a grade school reunion the same weekend. I mean, I knew those people 13 years.
Wow.
And I knew everybody who was there. It was amazing.
Yeah, what a fun.
And I have to say, I kind of am late on the show. I didn't realize it was about bullying. I just heard
it's about class reunions. Yeah, but one of the characters in the book is a bully. Yeah.
Well, we had a great class, and as far as I know, nobody got bullied or excessively teased.
Yeah. Well, Joanne, I'm glad your experience was a good one. 50-year reunion, good for you.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Thanks
for sharing with us.
Sure.
What was your class reunion experience like? 866-999-4626 is our toll-free number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. One of the beauties of being a writer of mysteries is when you've got somebody like Meg who you can kill who you want.
Let's clarify that before the police come storming up the stairs here. I mean, again, when I start these books, particularly the first one, I knew who the dead body was going to be and but in the second, third, and fourth, I really did not know who the victim was going to be, because the setup, the first chapter is always the setup and the body. And when I start writing them, I don't necessarily know who the body is. And so in this fourth book, I had a body in a bed at the class reunion.
And you're going, who's in that?
And
bed?
She had white hair. Well, that narrowed it down tremendously.
Yeah.
Somebody who had not visited the hairdresser recently. But who was it? And then, you know, I put out a whole bunch of auxiliary characters, and then I began to narrow the field and realize.
Isn't that interesting?
Who it was.
Because in the beginning of the book, we know this body is there, and
we don't know who it is
for quite a while.
Exactly.
Well, that's interesting. You didn't know either.
I didn't know either, no.
Judith is giving us a call from Cuttyhunk. Hi, Judith. Hi, Judith. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi. Go ahead, Judith.
About high school reunions, my high school only has a 10th year, a 25th year, and a 50th reunion. And I've been to all three of them and had a ball. The 10-year reunion, I think we were all walking around holding our stomachs in high school.
Yeah.
But by the 25th reunion, we were all talking about our children and the things they'd achieved or the things they hadn't achieved.
Yeah.
But the best of all was the 50th, when we walked around saying, who are you? Because we look so different. You know, yeah. I look in the mirror, I look like my grandmother. I don't feel like my grandmother, but no wonder we didn't recognize each other.
Oh, that's funny. Judah, thanks for sharing. What high school did you go to?
I went to Mamaroneck High School.
Okay, so the 50th. All right, you know, I might have my 40th would be this coming up 2014, so I might have to check out the 40th.
Judah, I would encourage everyone to go. Wonderful to see everybody again.
Okay, Judah, thanks for that. Thanks for calling in. Mystery writers, as you're talking about a couple of minutes ago, have to provide clues to the reader.
Yeah.
So some
yeah.
clues are red herrings and some point in the right direction. So describe how you create the narrative arc of the mystery while at the same time figuring out what clues you should insert here or there.
Well, of course, one of the beauties of writing the book is when the first draft is finished, and then I read it, I think, well, this doesn't hang together at all. So then I need to go back and I need to plant the clues, because I sometimes will put up three or four different story arcs. And then as the story gets narrower and narrower, I have to go back and trim a lot. A lot of people don't understand that there's all different ways to write a book, obviously. Mm-hmm. A lot of people outline. A lot of women I know outline, mystery writers outline everything. I am what it's called a seat-of-the-pants writer. And I like to write as a person would read the book.
Right.
And then, of course, I have the luxury of being able to come back. But I at the end of every chapter, this is really key. You have to give a reader a reason to go on to the next chapter.
Yeah. Especially when you say, I'm going to put this down at the end of this chapter.
Exactly.
And wait, I got to find out.
Exactly.
Now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you have to give a reader a reason to keep going.
Yeah.
And in the beginning of the book, you have to give a reader a reason to go beyond the first chapter, to read beyond the first couple of lines.
Pull them in. All right. Marie is calling from Brewster. Hi, Marie.
Hi.
Did you attend your class reunion?
Well, I did. I had a unique situation in that in my junior year in high school, another gal and myself went away to a girls' private Catholic school. But our public school friends always invited us to their reunions all the way along and still do today.
Wow.
And so I went to the public school reunions, and I went to the very few that we had from the Catholic school reunions. There were only 12 in that class.
Hmm.
So
wow.
That petered out a little bit. But the funniest thing that happened to me was at my 50th reunion, and toward the end of the evening, a group of us were chit-chatting, and one of the girls came up to me, and she said to me, "Well, you own a funeral parlor, don't you? You're a mortician." And anybody that knows me would know that would probably be the last business I'd ever go into.
Oh, that's funny, Marie. That's funny.
So, hello to Susan.
Hello, okay. Marie.
I'm sensing the same Catholic girls' school here.
No, not
the
exactly.
Same school. Okay, all right, okay.
All right. I'm older than that lady.
Not by a lot.
All right. Marie, thanks so much for sharing your experience.
Oh, you're welcome. It's a delightful show.
Thanks. And Lori is calling from Orleans. Hi, Lori.
Yes, I wanted to say I'm another Catholic survivor and have been going to my reunions and actually just went the other weekend to my elementary school 40th reunion.
Wow.
And they've been absolutely amazing. I mean, I've gone to most of my every five-year high school ones, and this was the 40th, and we had a 20th one, and we had over 40 people there, and it was absolutely amazing. Everyone was wonderful and had so much fun, and I think it's great.
I didn't even know they did elementary school reunions. But that's,
Nobody does.
I was going to say, yeah. Yeah, well.
Everybody says, I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
And so it's really amazing, the group we have, and they still all get together.
That's great. And so, again, see, everyone's having a good experience at their class reunions. Lori, thanks for sharing. Appreciate that.
Okay, thank you.
Susan, at the you also include, at the end of the book, class reunion planning tips and recipes.
Yes. That was so much fun. Well, first of all, I found out that there is a reunions magazine. Who knew?
Who knew, right?
I went online and I discovered there was a reunions magazine. So I emailed the editor and I said, look, I'm writing this book about a high school reunion. Would you be interested in reviewing it? And so she got very excited because a lot of reunions today, by the way, are family reunions. Mm-hmm. Family reunions are really big.
Right.
And so I wanted to make it clear that this particular book was about a class reunion. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it's titled Class Reunions as opposed to just reunions. And so so that was the first piece about the reunion planning. And she has a website and she – and so reunionmagazine.com there you can find out all about these ways to plan a high school reunion. Mm-hmm. But the fun part is at the end of these books now are recipes, which I never actually had intended to do, but it sort of has morphed into a life of its own.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a wonderful woman named Paula DeAngie from Osterville, who is really a Renaissance woman as far as I'm concerned. And she now creates the recipes for these books. And she, because God knows I don't test them, Lord knows. People say to me, how do you do? I said, don't ask me. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I just do what Paula tells
experts,
me.
Leave it
to Paula. But she decided it would be interesting to do a reunion lunch and to do the recipes one way and then the more modern way. So she did one recipe the way that we would have had it made in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
When we were not counting our calories as much, we were not worrying about our cholesterol or our blood pressure, whatever. And then she took the same dish and she made it low fat. And so the book at the end of the book, there are all these recipes. There's a whole menu and it's done two different ways, except for the Seven Deadly Sins cheesecake. Because, I mean, after
how,
all,
yeah, how can
you know,
you, yeah,
so
how can
she
you
just said, just take like a teaspoon and then you'll be good to go. But, you know,
yeah.
5 or 10 of them and I'm good to go.
So you split your time between the Cape and Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
And in both of your communities, you're part of writers groups. Here it's the Cape Cod Writers Center. And in Connecticut, you're in a mystery writers group.
Yep.
So how does being involved with these groups influence your writing?
Well, I think it inspires me in some ways to do better. You know, we can all we all learn from each other and we're all very supportive of each other. Even if we don't write the same way, we are very respectful of each other's writing styles. And one of the other things that I do is I now review mysteries for a national magazine called Suspense.
Mm.
And I've learned once you write a book and you realize how hard it is, even though when you read it, it may look very easy. I would never trash a book that's written by another person because I know how hard it is. So if something just does not appeal to me, because reading is such a personal choice.
I was going to say, it's like art, subjective. Yeah.
It's all personal. I just don't review it.
Mm-hmm.
That's
go.
All.
Yeah. Well, and I wanted to mention one other little tidbit, which I love, you know, the personal dynamics in this story. This last little thing I'm going to give away. We find out that Meg, the bully, Jim, Carol's husband, dated Meg.
I know.
Meg, and
I was sure surprised about that,
Mindy.
I had no idea. I had no idea. You know, and people probably find that very strange, but
it just happens.
In my brain, well, such as it is, these characters are living in a parallel universe. And as you and I are talking now, they're doing something. And I don't know what they're up to.
Right.
But truly, I was so shocked when he told her that.
I know.
Must think I should be committed. But honestly, this is what happens when you write a book.
All right. So the Baby Boomer Mystery is a series. This latest one is Class Reunions Can Be Murder. What are you working on now?
I knew you'd ask me that. The working title is Funerals Can Be Murder.
Oh, wow.
And I have a body in a casket. This is so ghoulish. This is great for before
Halloween, right?
I have a body in a casket in a funeral home. Carol and her daughter Jenny have gone to pay their respects. This is the setup. And I don't know who it is yet.
All right, we'll find out. Susan Santangelo, her book is Class Reunions Can Be Murder. Susan, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Mindy.
I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.
Amy Vins produces The Point with assistance from Jenny Junker. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter. The Point is a production of the Cape and Islands NPR stations, a service of WGBH.